Jake paused and looked at me.
I mean, this whole universe, right? All those stars and all those worlds, I continued, maybe sounding more bitter than I had intended. Probably so many different kinds of people out there that we couldn't count them all. How could God really care about what's happening to one little person on one little planet among a practically infinite number of them? Jake tied off the trash bag and tossed it in the bin. He replaced the liner with a thoughtful look on his face.
Well, he said, I've never been to much school, you understand, but it seems to me that you're assuming something you shouldn't assume. What's that? I said. That God sees the world like you do, one thing at a time, from just one spot. Seems to me that he's supposed to be everywhere, know everything.
He put the lid back on the trash can. Think about that. He knows what you're feeling, how you're hurting. Feels my pain, your pain, like it was his own. Jake shook his head. Hell, son. Question isn't how could God care about just one person. Question is, how could he not? I snorted and shook my head.
More optimism than you want to hear right now, Jake said. I hear you, son.
He turned and started pushing the cart out the door.
Oh, he said. Can an old man offer you one more thought?
Sure, I said without turning around.
You got to think that maybe there's a matter of balance here, he said. Maybe one archangel invested his strength in this situation overtly and immediately. Maybe another one was just quieter about it, thinking long term. Maybe he already gave you a hand.
My right hand erupted into pins and needles again. I sucked in a swift breath and rose, spinning around. Jake was gone. The janitor's cart was still there. A rag hanging off the back was still swinging back and forth slightly. A folded paperback book was shoved between the body of the cart and the handle. I went over to the cart and looked up and down the hall. There was no one in sight, and nowhere they could have conveniently disappeared to. I picked up the book. It was a battered old copy of The Two Towers. One page was dog-eared and a bit of dialogue underlined in pencil. The burned hand teaches best, I read aloud. I made my way back to my seat and shook my head. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Grimalkin mewled from the pew beside me.
That your experience with resisting the shadow of the Fallen One has garnered the respect of the Watchmen, my emissary.
I twitched violently enough that I came up off my seat an inch or two and came back down with a grunt. I slid down as far as I could to the end of the pew. It wasn't far. I bought myself only another inch or three before I turned to face Mab. She sat calmly, dressed in a casual business suit of dark blue, wearing plenty of elegant little diamonds. Her white hair was bound up into a braided bun, held in place with ivory sticks decorated with lapis. She held Grimalkin on her lap like a favorite pet, though only a lunatic would have mistaken the Malk for a domestic cat. It was the first time I'd seen Grimalkin in clear light. He was unusually large and muscular, even for a Malk, and they tended to make your average lynx look a little bit scrawny. Grimalkin must have weighed 60 or 70 pounds, all of it muscle and bone. His fur was dark gray, patterned with rippling black fur, almost like a subtle watermark. His eyes were yellow-green, very large, and far too intelligent for any animal.
The Watchman? I stammered.